This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
It's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one travel news journalist. And now the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
Hi, everybody. Peter Greenberg here, and welcome to the podcast that's done from a different location around the world every single week. One day Canada, the next day Thailand, then New York, London. You just never know. This week we come to you from
Agua Caliente Casino Resort and Spa in Rancho Mirage, California.
Who better to talk to now than the Honorable Mayor of Palm Springs, Jeff Gores. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for having me in Palm Springs. And, you know, I should tell you that I've been coming to Palm Springs since I was a correspondent for Newsweek back in 1971. I remember coming down on the interstate in my old VW bus and getting buffeted by the wind and sand and heat. And in those days, you know, the stereotype of Palm Springs was this is where people went to die. This is a retirement community. There was no energy here. You had a couple of major maybe television and film stars who were down here because of the Gulf. And I was hard-pressed to find good stories. Obviously not the case anymore.
No, it's as we say, it's not our grandfather's Palm Springs. The city's totally revitalized. 20 years ago when I moved here, it was moving forward, but it's really taken off in the last 10 years. So many great restaurants, attractions, you know, Broadway shows that come through, the McCallum Theater in Palm Desert. It's just a wonderful city with great culture, but still that small town vibe that makes it so great for tourists and residents alike.
And if truth be told, the last time I saw you was just a couple of weeks ago. You and I, you were giving me a tour of one of the cutest airports in America, the airport in Palm Springs.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most stress-free airport I've ever been to. I mean, for those, if you're staying in Palm Springs in the downtown area or you live in Palm Springs, you know, I leave my house at 6 o'clock for the 7 a.m. flight and can connect to almost anywhere in the world, whether through Canada, through Dallas, Chicago. You know, I flew home from Tel Aviv through Toronto, right into Palm Springs. It's amazing.
And I remember, although you told me it's not there anymore, and it wasn't, but I remember you actually had a putting green at the airport.
I remember that back, God, probably in the 80s. We had a putting green, and we didn't even have the terminal where the planes, you know, connected. You actually had to walk out onto the tarmac back in those days. Now we have direct flights to over 20 cities around the country.
I'm going to share with you a story that I didn't share with you when I saw you the last time. One day I was actually flying out of Palm Springs. I think I was going to like Denver or Chicago. No, I was going to Phoenix, I think. And as it turned out, I was the only person on the flight.
Wow.
And so I got there early, and it was, you know, you're an open air airport. And so I'm talking to the TSA, right? And we're having a nice time. I haven't gone through security. I'm in no rush. I'm the only guy there. And there was one person there, I think from either America or West, whoever was flying to Phoenix in those days. And that whoever was the counter agent was also the guy at the gate, who was also the guy with the orange cones. I mean, he was doing everything. He was loading bags. So we're just having a nice conversation. And now the one guy I'm talking to from the airline, he calls the flight. So he goes to the loudspeaker, but he's only talking to me, right?
That's great.
So it's now time for me to go through security. And I go through and I get stopped. And the guy says, "You've been selected for random sweep." I said, "I'm the only guy at the airport." And by the way, you're not crowded at this airport.
No, you never feel crowded. The rental cars are right at the airport. You don't have to take a bus or a tram or any van to it. It's really wonderful.
All right, so the airport's coming into its own. Plus, you've increased where you can fly to.
Yes. I mean, there are over 20 nonstop flights. Boston, New York, Newark, Atlanta, as well as Chicago, the whole West Coast, but all through Canada as well, which makes it really easy to connect either through Dallas, you can connect through Los Angeles, San Francisco, or Toronto, as I often do as well.
So let's move on to the other thing that I've noticed. Well, there are three things I used to remember about coming down to Palm Springs. The first I already told you. The second was stopping at Hadley's for a date shake. You can't not come without that. And they're still there.
They're still there, and there's also a great date shake right in downtown Palm Springs.
And of course, right next to Hadley's, and I'm not a meat eater, but I had to introduce my wife to In-N-Out Burger. So it was her first experience.
Wow.
And then the third thing, of course, the windmills.
Yes. So the windmills are terrific. They've been here for a long time. There are more and more of them.
And they're bigger and bigger.
They're getting bigger and bigger. And the amount of energy they produce, the bigger ones can compete with any fossil fuel in cost, which is really incredible, because that's how we're going to start saving the planet for future generations. Starting April 1st, so coming up. Is Palm Springs is going to be the first city in the area to go 100% carbon free, not just for the city, but for residents and businesses. We're doing our own power program. It's something
state
law allows. Well,
you have solar.
Right, and we're going to add solar, and we can buy our own power. So we'll buy it from various sources. But the windmills produce, you know, an amazing amount of energy. They're beautiful against the mountains. Artists come here to draw them. There are art installations here all the time. It's really a wonderful thing. And there's a great windmill tour. If you've never gone on it,
come on.
Next time you're out, I'll take you. It's really wonderful.
Explain how you do a windmill tour.
Well, there's a little office building at the windmill company headquarters, and they have all the pictures and history of windmills, including all the ones that failed over, you know, decades and decades and decades.
And why did they fail?
Various things. They didn't. The wind wasn't strong enough.
Well, that's the obvious one.
Right.
It wasn't windy that day.
The parts didn't hold up long term. There were a whole bunch of issues. They weren't controlled, you know, the way they now are through computers, you know, off-site. And so they take you through the whole history. Then they put you in a really nice, you know, minibus and take you around. And you go out to the windmills and they explain how they work. And I'm not a science geek, but I was fascinated in it.
Well, what amazes me, when you're in your car and you're driving down the interstate, you see them, you see the turbines moving around, but you don't really hear them. When you get up close and personal, oh my God.
Yeah, they're noisy when you're there, but if you're not really right at them, you don't hear them at all.
Exactly. And you're telling me they're generating enough electricity to take you essentially off the normal grid and putting you on this one.
Well, they actually generate enough, from what I understand, to power the entire Coachella Valley, every residence in the Coachella Valley, if it was off-grid. It's not totally off-grid, but we pick who we buy power from. So we can buy power from the windmills, from solar, from various hydro, and go 100% carbon-free and help save our planet.
So you've become the role model for other cities.
That's our goal. We've, you know, had a sustainability commission, and we've worked on it for a long time. We had a solar ordinance for new residential long before the state started requiring it this year.
Tell me how that works.
Well, any home, any residential project that was being built had to have solar installed. First, it was solar wire ready, and about 3-4 years ago, we passed a solar ordinance. It had to have a certain amount of solar energy, because solar pays itself back here in about 6-7 years, because look, we're in the desert. And so it saves people money. And one of the interesting things, there was a push to exempt low-income houses, but for someone buying a house on a lower income, the mortgage and their regular energy bill was more than their mortgage with solar added into it. And once we showed that, everyone wanted it.
You could actually do the numbers.
Actually. So it works for the numbers and it works for the environment.
All right. So we've got a lot of sun.
A lot of sun.
Where's the water coming from?
We are on top of a beautiful, huge aquifer that no one knows exactly how long, but according to Desert Water Agency, we probably can make 100 years on it. But we also are really conscious of water conservation. We've done big turf buyback programs. And part of it is people moved here to be in the desert. And when people do nothing but plant non-native species here, all the allergies, all the things that some people moved away from come back. So we've done big turf buyback programs. All the golf courses are moving to reclaimed water. All the fountains are non-potable water. So we're really conscious of it, but we still like the feeling of an oasis while we're being good to the environment.
Interesting that people would come and plant, you know, invasive species that shouldn't have been here in the first place.
Yes. Well, that happens everywhere, unfortunately.
All right. So the flower store has got to be watched carefully. Joining me now from Palm Springs Life magazine, a magazine I still subscribe to.
Nice.
Yes, Derek Lang. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you, Peter?
Good. I mean, you're a relative newcomer to the magazine, but you're not a newcomer to the area. So what is it about this place that's changed for you? Because, you know, I still say, and I, this goes back to my history with Palm Springs, that for so many years it wasn't changing.
Mm. Yeah, I've been coming for probably about like 10 years. And there, it's kind of goes both ways. You want some things not to change. You come for the mid-century architecture. You come for the pools. But then you come and things change culinarily. There's new restaurants, new bars, new experiences with shopping.
Can we talk about the pools for a second?
Let's talk about them.
Because I remember when I first came down here, people had two kinds of pools. There was no middle level. There was the little baby pools.
Okay.
And there were like gargantuan pools.
Yeah.
Right? They were sort of like the old days of Town and Country and Slim Aaron's photography.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, if you want like the most high-tech pool technology, you come to Greater Palm Springs. We have pools here that are chilled. I didn't even know you could do that. But at the La Quinta Resort and Club, they have over 40 pools that they chill in the summertime. So it's never too hot to get in there. And then like...
Throw ice cubes in? What do you do?
No, I'm not a scientist, so I don't exactly understand the engineering behind it. But I think it's just the opposite of how they would heat the pool with like coils or something like that. But... and then like saltwater pools, which are actually really good for you. We have a lot of those here. So it kind of runs the gamut of sort of a pool experience you want.
So basically you're the unofficial pool inspector here.
Sure. I'll add that to my resume. That's like a pretty good title.
But I mean, having a pool in Palm Springs is sort of like you got to do it.
Yeah, you do. You got to do it.
And people come.
Yeah, you got to have a nice bar or bar cart, and you got to have a nice pool. Those are kind of the two prerequisites in Palm Springs.
And let's talk about some stereotypes.
Okay.
Ready? The dry heat. You know, when I was first coming down here, people would say, yes, Palm Springs is hot, but it's a dry heat. And of course, my answer was, yeah, my oven's a dry heat, but I don't live there, right? But now I'm turned around. I'm a big fan of the off-season. I'm actually working on a book right now called The Off-Season about why you want to go to Alaska in February and Palm Springs in August. I mean,
I've always been a huge fan of traveling on the off-season everywhere in the world. Like, go to Italy in December. Like, go to Venice when it's really cold and there's nobody
You go
there.
To Venice in February, and maybe you wear some boots in case the canals are flooding, but you're going to have a much better time.
100%.
You'll own the bridge of size. It won't be the bridge of thighs.
Yeah, and same with Palm Springs. Come in the summertime. It's actually really great. Sure, you're not going to be able to go on a 6-mile hike because you'll probably pass out.
No, you do that at 3 a.m.
Exactly. You just turn into a vampire. But I'm originally from Florida. So
you understand.
When they say dry heat, they ain't kidding because I grew up walking outside.
Yeah, but Florida was not dry heat. Florida was humid heat.
It's a wet heat. Yeah, you walk outside and you immediately need to turn around and go back in and take a shower. That's not the case here in Palm Springs. It's actually very comfortable.
I got you. So now, speaking of comfort, you got to eat.
Yes.
Where are we going?
Well, there's so many good places. And what's happening right now, we just put out this supplement magazine called Taste Magazine. And what I found really interesting as I was working on that publication is there's a plethora of produce here. You don't think about that. You think, oh, it's a desert. No. Nothing's going to grow there. Yeah. Obviously, the dates are a big deal here. We have more. We grow more dates than anywhere else in the country.
I continue to go for date shakes.
Yeah. Date shakes, but you can also get, you know, bourbon infused with dates. You can get that drink right here at the Cigar Lounge at the Agua Caliente. But there's also...
And you would know that because you've had it.
Yeah, it's research. Okay, I have to try everything, Peter.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's date sugar, date jam, all of that stuff. But there's also things that you would never have thought about, like white sweet potatoes. We grow more white sweet potatoes here, which makes like a really great soup. It's super healthy. Then there's, you know, stuff like juniper. So there's actually like a lot of ingredients, and there's tons of chefs here that are really inspired by the challenge of using that kind of local cuisine. So where do we go? Well, what are you in the mood for?
Well, let's start with breakfast.
Okay. Breakfast. Well, right now I'm kind of obsessed with, there's this Jewish deli.
Oh, wait, you talk about Wexler's.
Wexler's. Yeah. So it's.
But that's been around.
It's been around. It's in the Grand Central Market downtown. But here in Palm Springs, it's more of a luxurious experience because it's like a restaurant at the Arrive Hotel. And so you sit down. You don't have to like wait in a line like you do at the Grand Central Market in downtown LA. And they do a breakfast burrito made with their house-made pastrami. So see, that's pretty unique.
And joining me now from the Desert Sun, Brian De Los Santos. Brian, the reason why I asked you on the show is because if I go back to all my years coming to this area, and if truth be told, it goes back to 1971, when I first came here, I found it boring. I found it dry, still dry. I found, you know, it was funny. When I first came here, the description of Palm Springs in the area was 200,000 people, two interesting stories.
Yes. Right?
Things have changed.
Yes.
That's why you're here.
Yep.
What specifically has been the turnaround, and why is it now booming in terms of culture, recreation, entertainment? I mean, look where we are right now, right?
Yep. Well, Peter, as you can see, if you come to the downtown area of Palm Springs, there's more development now. There's an H&M, there's these stores.
Wait, H&M is here? Okay.
Yeah, now you know we're legit. you know, the old businesses.
Yeah, but is there a Marshalls?
There is.
Okay, I'm staying.
Not too far
away. Fine.
Okay. So we have more development, and we have still have the mom and pop shops. There's still a bit of a, like that old feel.
But that I like.
Yes. So the younger folks, the more diverse folks, the people who love the city, but they want to get away, they come here for the bachelorette parties. They come here for the getaways. They come here for the pool parties. We have things like the Dinah, which is a lesbian weekend here. We have
which you never would have seen in 1971 ever.
I doubt it.
No, it wasn't happening.
But there was still, like, I was talking about the old era, there was still Palm Springs spring break here. So you know, people have those memories, and people still associate Palm Springs, the area, with this kind of like the desert hotspot.
Right, but the median age has come down.
Yeah, so now I'm about 30 years old. I'm 29, and I see.
Hey, stay 29 as long as you can. Okay,
I'll try to, but I do see more of younger folks out here, and it's because of different opportunities. There's a hospitality sector out here. There is cuisine. There's a lot of like restaurants that open up and they try their hand here. And I feel like when they try their hand here, they can go to places like L.A., San Diego, Phoenix are big cities nearby.
So you can live here and use it as a hub.
Exactly. And for example, myself, I'm from LA. I came here for a career, you know, move, and I love it. I have my husband now and have my dog. I feel like I can be here for a few more years.
You're a unit.
Exactly. I have a home here, unlike LA, you know, we still rent out there in LA. And
well, if I can say something that my folks in LA and my friends in LA will not like, but Los Angeles is 86 separate incorporated cities in desperate search of a community.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's different here.
Oh yeah, and there a lot of people, a lot of the locals, because there, as you know, there's a snowbird season, so people come and go, and they stay here for 6 months where it's like tolerable warm weather, and then it comes the 110, 115 degrees.
Where do you go? Leave. Where do you go?
I stay indoors. I stay in the AC, or I skip to LA or San Diego.
Although I have to tell you something, I'm a huge fan of the off season. For most people, I think it's sort of a myth, because for me, I don't mind Alaska in February, and I don't mind Palm Springs in August if you know what to do, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you can get to the pool and have a great time before 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
You go back at 4 in the afternoon. From 11 to 4, hey, like, embrace the Spanish model, siesta.
Yep, yep. Happy hours are a thing here. You know, if you're in town, I suggest you get out and you do a little bit of, like, happy hours. You do the pool time. Palm Springs is super popular for the pool parties. Splash House is a thing here. A lot of people love coming to that. I wouldn't myself. I think I'm out of that age range where I would enjoy myself at a Splash House event, which is pool parties all over the town. I'm okay not appearing.
But the bottom line is, you're happy to be here.
Of course. It's an awesome.
All right. So since you talked about food, let's get into that.
Oh, yes.
All right. Where are you taking me for breakfast?
So I love this place called Wim & Frieda's. They have two locations. One in Palm Springs in the main area in downtown. And there's another one right outside of Palm Springs in Palm Desert. So I've been to the one in Palm Springs. Really good breakfast. They have brunch. They have all the...
Well, what am I ordering?
You're ordering salsa verde... pork there. It is awesome. It's kind of like chilaquiles. They're kind of like a take on chilaquiles. It for me, I always try to look for something Mexican inspired because I'm from LA, I'm from Mexico. I try to like see like what is the original cuisine here, and they do a really good like take on Mexican inspired salsa. And for me, it was awesome. It was delicious. It comes with eggs. You can order a mimosa. You can order any type of drink there. The atmosphere is kind of homey. So you sit down and you just get taken care of.
All right. So that's breakfast with a mimosa. Got it. Lunch.
For me, because I experienced something new, it's called Tanya's Kitchen. It's right off. It's,
now, that's not pork.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It is vegan. And I hope you, and if you have never tried vegan.
Can I tell you something? Here's the biggest myth about vegan food. An overwhelming number of people who order vegan food aren't vegans. And half of the time, they don't even know it.
Exactly. I wasn't vegan. I was introduced to that place, and they're like, you just try this. You'll love it. It's light, but it's filling. It's warm.
I will tell you the one thing I do hate about vegan places.
What is it?
It's sort of a ridiculous attitude. Ready? They all whisper. You ever notice, we have the kale. It's like, no, just what do you have on the menu? It's sort of, they're like escape librarians in there. It's sort of like, hi. I'm a witness. I'm in the witness relocation program. I'm vegan. No. Just what do you have on the menu?
What exactly do they have? Yeah. I do recommend two things: a chupacabra chicken sandwich. It's a what?
A
chupacabra. I don't know exactly where that came from. I have not asked Tanya myself. I should ask.
So that's the impossible chicken.
That is the weird chicken they have, right? Well, and then there's their take on the Cuban sandwich, the cubanito. So, you know, of course, you know, I wanted to see like what they have there. And the cubanito is my go-to for lunch. My office is not far away from there. So whenever I can escape, I go there. Tanya's super friendly. She's there most of the time. If not, they take care of you anyway.
And dinner?
Dinner. For me, it's...
Let me guess. We're back to pork.
Yeah, of course. You can never go wrong with meat, I would say. So we'll take you back to downtown Palm Springs area, which is the Rooster and Pig. Now, that's the like a Vietnamese fusion place, and you get a little bit of everything. But I do appreciate the pork there, the pork dish. They give you a little bit of soup when you walk in. When you get served, you know, you sit down, and... You get this atmosphere that's almost like a big city, like LA, but then you get this like homey feeling like you're in a smaller town.
My next guest knows a little bit about this location. She's been writing about it for a long time. In fact, Moon Publications has got her book, Joshua Tree in Palm Springs, and here she is, Jenna Blau. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
And happy that you are here. Now, you didn't really discover this place in your early years, you had to fall in love with it almost by accident.
This is true. I actually grew up on the East Coast and
not one of those.
No, yeah, but I am now a bona fide Californian. I've been here for going on 20 years, and when I first moved out here, I just explored the state, started road tripping and camping and traveling and just kind of finding out everything I could about California, little outposts, and just fell in love with the Mojave Desert.
Why?
I love the landscape. There are certain people who are just drawn to that landscape. It's austere. It's spiky.
It's silent.
It is silent. Los Angeles is not silent. That's where I'm based right now. And to love Los Angeles, which I do, is to get out of Los Angeles also.
That's great branding for Los Angeles, but we won't share that with them. But the bottom line is when you get out there, the first thing you notice is space, light, and sound. Or lack of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's almost a flat light in the desert. Their shadows are sharper. The boulders are big, and the Joshua trees are spiky. So you're really
explain
just
a Joshua tree.
A Joshua tree is actually part of the yucca family. But it is a little bit taller than the yuccas you might see in someone's yard. It's a tree. It's kind of spiky at the top. They're very anthropomorphic. They kind of look like people waving. And so they're kind of very engaging.
They always look like they're moving.
They do. They do look like they're moving. Yeah, like they're kind of waving at you, waving up to the sky.
And you mentioned Joshua Tree National Park. It's amazing how many national parks and monuments are actually in this area.
It is incredible, and we've added a few more over the past few years. So in between Joshua Tree National Park and Death Valley, we have the Mojave National Preserve. We've also added recently the Castle Mountains National Preserve to the east and the Sand to Snow National Monument, connecting the San Jacinto Mountains with the desert.
They actually call it the Sand to Snow?
Sand to Snow,
That one I didn't know, I have to tell you. That's a new one.
Yeah, it is a new one. It is a new one. Yeah, it's not. It's hard to find a map for it, actually, right now.
Well, that's why you're there, because you create the map.
Absolutely.
You're pioneering it. So what was the biggest surprise to you when you first moved here?
When I first moved here, oh, well.
I mean, I'm talking about when you started discovering this area.
When I started discovering. Yeah. You know, really how much there was to discover. Coming from the East Coast, where where distances are short, out here, distances are very long. A six-hour drive is like a two-hour drive on the East Coast, and there's so much to discover. It was a real sense of freedom. There are all kinds of tiny ghost towns. And
they're still there.
And they're still there.
And they're still accessible.
They're still accessible. Yeah,
can
absolutely.
I ask a really stupid question?
Sure.
Who owns the ghost towns?
That is actually a great question. Some of them are privately owned. There are a few that I know out in Nevada that are privately owned. People who are just historic aficionados are just buying them up. But then others are just kind of sitting around on BLM land. Some of them are in national parks. If you're a land, Bureau of Land Management. Some of them are in national parks. Joshua Tree has a few. I wouldn't call them ghost towns. I might call them ghost camps. So they're just kind of like little tent sites and vestiges of Joshua Tree's mining era.
But you can hike it, you can bike it, you can walk it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you can camp it.
You can camp it, and you can rock climb it. It's a huge rock climbing destination. Yeah.
Now, when I first came to Palm Springs, I mean, the development was nowhere near what it was, it is today. I mean, there are no high rises. There was no great entertainment facilities. There were a couple of celebrity homes. And that was about it, and then memories of Gabby Hayes, if anybody remembers Gabby Hayes, but that's okay, I forgive you all. But here we are on the Agua Caliente, in this building, all of a sudden you have an entertainment venue, you have major stars coming, you have all these different food venues that were never there before, and opportunities for people, if you want to combine, camping and luxury, you can do it now.
Yeah, and you're hitting on one of the things that really amazes me about Palm Springs as well, as how well it has weathered all eras of tourism. So
explain that.
Yes, I would love to. So Palm Springs was mid-century modernism kind of grew up in Palm Springs. We had all these beautiful mid-century hotels and homes, the celebrity homes that you mentioned. But then that fell out of fashion really in the 70s through the 90s. But instead of tearing everything down like some other cities that we could mention, Palm Springs just kind of pushed forward. And when people started buying up property in the 90s, all these beautiful homes and hotels and municipal buildings were left there. Palm Springs has the highest concentration of mid-century modern architecture in the world.
And they're preserving it.
And they're preserving it really beautifully.
And the people who were buying the homes, they were younger.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
You never thought of Palm Springs as being a young place.
Right? Absolutely. And it has, you're right, it has just a new vibrancy right now. And every time I'm out there, I'm just amazed by how much more vibrant and beautiful it is.
Other than the age demographics, mm-hmm. what are some of the biggest misconceptions?
About Palm Springs?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that, of course, that it's a retirement home, but also that it is maybe just a place to go play golf. Really, there are a lot of things to do out there.
To be honest, there are a lot of golf courses.
There are a lot of golf courses, but there are also a lot of restaurants, a lot of resorts, swimming pools.
There are a lot of golf courses. There are a lot of swimming pools. What's there a lot of that would be a surprise?
Well, I don't know if there's a lot of it, but there is some hiking. There are things to explore. The Indian Canyons, for example, in Palm Springs are a beautiful hiking experience. They're owned by the Coahuila Band of Agua Caliente Indians, and there are waterfalls. You can hike and just have, and there are palm oases.
Have you taken the aerial tramway?
I have.
I did too.
Yeah,
cool.
It is really cool. 6,000 feet in, 10 minutes, I think it takes to get up to the top of the mountains.
Now, one of the conceptions, or I should say the misconceptions, is that it's always hot.
Right. Yes, this is true. I think first-time visitors think that they're coming to a place that's very hot, and then they're surprised when the temperature drops 40 degrees at night and it's freezing and you need two fleeces and some boots.
That's the desert.
Yeah, that's the desert.
Okay, so that's one of the misconceptions. The age thing is a misconception.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What about accessibility? Because, that's a big deal these days.
It is a big deal. Are you asking about Palm Springs or Joshua Tree?
Both.
Joshua Tree, I would say, is fairly accessible. You can see Joshua Tree in a car. There's a 25-mile loop through the park that you can drive, and there are a lot of short interpretive trails along this drive that you can kind of get out. There are viewpoints, so you can really kind of see the highlights of Joshua Tree without having to get way back in there.
And you can actually learn something.
And you can learn something, too. Yeah.
Have you hiked at all?
Oh, I'm a big hiker. Yeah.
So you've done it.
Yeah, I've done it. Yeah. I haven't hiked at all, but I've hiked most of it.
Okay. How long would it take you to do Joshua Tree, the actual national?
To hike every trail in Joshua Tree?
Yeah.
A few months? It's crisscrossed by trails.
So
yeah.
Pick it carefully.
Pick carefully, absolutely.
Pick carefully.
Yeah.
My guest right now is Caniela Neves, the director of hotel operations right here at Agua Caliente. And, you're a hotel guy, and you're from Hawaii.
Correct.
You came from all the Marriott guys over there.
Correct.
But this is a whole different operation, isn't it?
It is, but it's relative. I mean, hospitality is hospitality, irregardless of where you go. It's my second go-round in Native American gaming. Previously,
and explain some of the history of that, because we saw it, of course, on the East Coast of the United States in Connecticut and New York. We've seen it in Pennsylvania. We've seen it in Arizona. We've seen it in New Mexico. California is a relatively newcomer.
Relatively, it's been around, in Southern California, I think a little longer than Northern, Pechanga, and a few others that have been doing this for quite some time. I think it goes back to, some of the old tents that were constructed, bingo hall days. It's been around for quite a long time. Pull tab slot machines. I'm not sure if anybody remembers those, but yeah, it's been around for quite some time.
But when you think about the evolution of Indian gaming, it was never Indian gaming and entertainment. It was never Indian gaming and great food. It was a casino.
absolutely. And so I think, you know, the evolution of that obviously is gaming is a great form of entertainment. Specifically in California, not everybody has the privilege of having a gaming operation. So food, entertainment, kind of taking, you know, the foundation that Las Vegas has laid down and some of those other large cities like Atlantic City, it just goes hand in hand.
And when I remember the original Indian casinos, the three-letter word spa was never part of that deal either.
Absolutely not. And again, you know, going back to the evolution side of it, it's inevitable that, you know, you have full-scale resorts, very similar to what I came from in Marriott, where basically it's a one-stop shop.
And from a revenue point of view and from a tax point of view, you're now a big part of the community.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, over 2,500 jobs. Which makes us, I believe, the largest employer in our area, and all the taxes that are generated from that obviously goes to support a large part of the community.
When you came here, you know, I was surprised, quite frankly, to see the caliber of entertainment that you're booking here. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld's coming.
Absolutely, amazing, and like you, you know, being that I'm 4 months in. I was very surprised at the level of entertainment, the level of entertainers that we draw to the resort here. It's absolutely amazing. Snoop Dogg to, like you said, Jerry Seinfeld, amazing talent, very recognizable names that you don't often see at a casino property outside of Las Vegas or Atlantic City. So
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when I also think about it, you and I were recently at the same time in Las Vegas for the Forbes 5-Star Luxury Summit. Mm-hmm. You guys got 4 stars.
We did.
Which, by the way, from an Indian casino or gaming operation, I was surprised. I mean,
absolutely amazing accomplishment. It's been about a 2-year project for the resort.
And you had to step up your game.
Absolutely. I mean, all things service related. Forbes is one of the most recognized partners in service throughout the hospitality industry, and I believe that you know, we're one of a very, very, very small company that has that Forbes attachment, and we've got three. We have three areas of the resort that were recognized with the 4-star recognition. So, fantastic accomplishment for the resort.
So, what's your biggest challenge?
You know, obviously it's a big operation, continuing to increase the levels of communication. Technology is a big factor. It continues to be. There's always opportunities to upgrade software systems, to, you know, incorporate different technologies, whether it be, you know, guest service friendly, customer service friendly. And so, you know, those challenges obviously remain, you know, to be a big challenge, but you know, we have a tremendous amount of support. We've got some great minds on the executive level that allow us to continue to meet those challenges. So,
but no amount of technology can take the precedence over good service.
Absolutely not. You've got to have good people, and you have to have good leadership and good management. And I think that's something that we definitely pride ourselves on.
But when you think about it, when people think about Indian gaming or Indian casinos, they're not necessarily, I mean, I was surprised to see the caliber of what you're doing here, mm-hmm. in terms of room design. I mean, I look at hotels the way you look at hotels, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I want to see if the plug is in the right place, and
absolutely.
I want to see if the lighting is in there, okay, in the bathroom. You got the lighting right in the bathroom. I mean, most hotels don't get the lighting right in the bathroom, right? You got big bathtubs in there. You know, most casinos want you out of the room.
Right.
So this is a different operation.
It is. You know, luxury first. Obviously, we want, you know, to bring in that that homely feel, if you would, and have every amenity that guests would expect if they're at a larger scale resort right here in Rancho Mirage.
My next guest heads from the CIA. No, it's not the CIA that you know and think about. It's the Culinary Institute of America, and actually up in Hyde Park, New York.
Absolutely.
And he's got quite a pedigree. He and I don't realize this until we actually looked at each other today, but we were both there when the Bellagio opened.
Yes, indeed.
Which is the former site of the Dunes Hotel when they blew that up.
Yes.
Then he went over to the Four Seasons, a couple of resorts there, and now he's here in Agua Caliente. Ken Williams, the executive chef. How are you, sir?
Good to be here.
You're, once again, like most Californians, you're not from around here. You're a New Jersey guy.
Exactly.
But thing is, you moved here. But when you moved here, I bet, like me, you weren't expecting to see what you were going to see. I mean, for me, I've said this throughout the show, Palm Springs is always surprising me these days because it's not just the desert.
I never in a thousand years thought I'd be in the desert, to be honest. But, you know.
You thought it would be a prison sentence.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's actually so beautiful out here. It's amazing. And we, you know, my family really, really are happily overjoyed to be here.
You know, if you go back 15 years, in some cases, maybe even 5 years, the biggest challenge that chefs have is being able to source food, being able to get local ingredients, working with local purveyors. You know, if you drive down here, and so many people do, you don't see a lot of opportunities, at least the first visual sighting that you have. You're not driving through rolling, lush farmland.
No, you're not. But we still live in Southern California, and, you know, that's the breadbasket of the country, basically. And we can get pretty much anything that we, you know, need and desire here in the desert.
Were you surprised when you got here about the quality of the food?
Yes, indeed. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't know that there were so many quality restaurants in the desert. You know, we still haven't reached, you know, all of the restaurants. Me and my wife go out and try everything, but, you know, it's incredible.
Although this is radio, and I know you can't see Ken, but he does like to eat.
Yes, and I'm not a small guy.
So in terms of the menu, because, you know, you're given a chance, right? This is your opportunity. You craft it, you create it, you invent it if you want. And I always like to ask chefs this question, so you're no exception. You're not getting off the hook that easy. When you first came here, what's the one thing you put on the menu and you said, man, this is going to be so great, so cool, everybody's going to like it, and it tanked? And wait. And then what's the one thing you said, do I really have to put this on the menu? And everybody loves it.
So, you know, we're trying to have fun. You know, we want to make our...
No excuses now. Come on.
I'm just trying to, you know, keep it real. You know, we try to have fun. And, you know, in one of our restaurants, Waters Cafe, you know, I wanted to kind of do a play on words and a play on food. So we bought popcorn shrimp, and I use actual popcorn with the shrimp, with a spicy honey that goes with the shrimp. I thought it was awesome, tastes great. People weren't really feeling it. But then I put like a fun dish on the menu as well.
Oh, so what you're saying to me is the popcorn shrimp got 86th.
Not yet, but it will.
It's on the way out.
It's on the way out.
Okay, fine. So hurry down to Agua Caliente to get your popcorn shrimp.
Right now.
Okay, fine.
And then we put tachos on the menu.
What? What's that?
It's like a play on tater tots, chili, and, you know, a bunch of other, you know, mixture of flavors. And, you know, people are loving it during happy hour. They're requesting it during, you know, dinner time. It's incredible.
Is it on the room service menu yet?
Not yet, but it will be. It's people love it.
At the end of the day, is it really making a difference if you just keep it simple?
Yes, that's the key.
But I mean, I go to so many restaurants where the menu is like reading a novel. You know, they want to tell you, you know, the baby leeks came from a small home in West Virginia, right. and they're doing this, and it's dressed with this, and it's like, how about just a grilled cheese sandwich? Does that work?
That's it. We had a saying in culinary school, keep it simple, stupid, you know, and it was just...
We had that same in journalism, by the way.
And, you know, it never fails. I mean, we want to keep the flavors simple where people can appreciate them, and, you know, presentations as well, very simple, but clean and nice, and, you know, people are drawn to that.
Now, you got a steakhouse here.
Absolutely.
And we know it's on the menu.
Yes.
You have a tomahawk that's a weapon.
It's a pretty large...
How big is that tomahawk?
It is 32 ounces.
Does it come with a stretcher?
You'll fall asleep at the table if you try to eat it all, I'll tell you that.
So you have the doggy bags ready?
Yeah, plenty of them. Plenty of them.
The bottom line is, where are your sourcing problems?
That's a good question.
Or what can't you get here?
We can get pretty much everything, like I said in the beginning, what we desire. But fish is, you know, fish is something that You know, if we want different types of fish, you really got to look hard for it.
Although the salmon you had is from the Antarctic.
Yes, and we wanted to be sustainable in that aspect.
And you just wanted to source it from as far away as possible.
As far away as possible and as good as possible.
So when I think about Palm Springs, I think about the Antarctic.
Cool off out here in the desert.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Catch us each week as we broadcast from a new location somewhere around the world.
Hey, Prime members, Peter Greenberg here. You can listen to Eye on Travel ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, and you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at Wondery.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.